Hello and welcome to Her Ambitious Career, the success podcast for corporate women who want more from their lives and careers. Each week, we share career and leadership strategies to help you set stretching goals, own your value, build visibility and credibility, gain recognition, get paid, and confidently take your career to that next level. Whatever your ambition, let's do this thing. Now, here's your host and career success expert, Rebecca Allen.
Ladies, welcome on in. I am really, really excited today. It's Tuesday, which means we are going live with our podcast, and this episode is one you do not want to miss. I am talking this week with Julia Scott, who is a money mindset expert. And listen up, if you have ever had any doubts about your ability to earn more money, if you have ever had any guilt about asking for more money, if you've ever had any concerns that making money is difficult, money is hard, then you are absolutely in the right spot today, because we are going to be sharing so much vital information. Money mindset is really, really vital to our, not just to our survival, but to help us actually thrive. And I think when we actually take ownership of ourselves, not just in terms of the value that we're adding, but also in getting paid appropriately for what we do, everything changes. Everything changes in terms of your confidence, in terms of your esteem, and all sorts of other opportunities come flying your way. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. I'll see you inside. Ladies, welcome on into today's episode, where we're talking about three common money mindset blockers. And my guest today is Julia Scott. Welcome on in, Julia.
Hi, so nice to be here.
I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks for having me. I just love how we met so synchronistically, and this was all meant to be. Love it.
It was the beauty of networking, Julia.
Yes.
So Julia, I mean, we're here today to talk about money, and, you know, money has lots of sort of connotations attached to it. A lot of people have emotional attachments to money, past histories, their stories about money. And that's what we're going to be really kind of uncovering today on the show today. One of the things that we were talking about when we last met was this idea that sort of financial power, financial independence even, is a relatively new thing for women. And I would love to hear your thoughts on that to get started.
Yeah. So this is why women, we definitely do money differently. And one of the reasons is because it's so new to us, because it's really, we're the first generation that has had a level playing field when it comes to money in the eyes of the law between the sexes. So if you think about our parents, like my mother up until the late 70s couldn't even apply for her own credit card without her husband co-signing the form, even though she was a breadwinner. And then up until the 80s, it was also very legal for a husband to remortgage a home that he owned with his wife without her permission. This sort of stuff just blows my mind. Yeah. So it's all relatively new. And for this reason, it's not necessarily our fault that we find money difficult, I suppose, or we're not as confident as men when it comes to money. Because for thousands of years, men have been practicing money and they've been getting good at it, and they've grown up with role models, and they are taught that they should expect to make lots of money. But for women, we were always taught to be very careful with our money. And for women, money represents security and safety. And for men, it represents power. They're very different. Mm. So of course that affects the way we do money. And this is why I do what I do, because one of the other benefits of being a woman is that we're wired to nurture. And so if there's more wealth in the hands of women, it will be spent differently. We will spend it to nurture those around us and to create positive change in the world. It's just the way that we're wired in that motherly kind of aspect. So I believe the world needs more wealthy women, and that's a big driver in why I focus on teaching women how to be confident with money.
Mm, that's a really interesting concept. One thing I think is funny about that is because I talk about gender differences a lot in my business. It's inevitable. You know, we're a coaching business purely for women. Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of an interesting idea that idea that money is power to men and money is security to women. Obviously, that's a sweeping statement. Like, we can't say that for everybody. We can't say that men are all competent with money, because we all know that that's not true.
No, yeah.
But, you know, there are plenty of women out there who are competent with money. And there are women who may struggle with money, just as men and women would do the same, right? So, but I think you're right. I think there is a kind of a natural tendency to value different things when it comes to money. And we were going to talk today about some of those mindset blockers that are quite common in women. Of course, they occur in men as well, but they are quite common in women. So what would you say would be the first of those most common mindset blockers, Julia?
Well, I think a lot of us, pretty much all of us, make money harder than it needs to be.
I like that.
Yeah. Yep. It's really not that hard. And just like when you want to get fit and you hire a personal trainer, you have to go to the gym. You know, you're not going to be able to just think your way there. You have to actually do something about it. And I think some of us, we try and make it harder than it needs to be, in that all we need to do is take positive action. But there's these blockers, emotional blockers and stories we tell ourselves, like it's never going to work and there's no point doing it. And just like when you're going to the gym, you go, oh, I can't go today because I'm too tired, or I had a big night last night and I can't manage it. But the fact is you have to make a decision that you're going to do this, and you have to believe that it is easier than these stories are telling you, right? Because it is, and it's all about your mindset, and you've just got to make the decision to do it and find the easiest path.
What do you think it is that, you know, women look at it and sort of see it as hard? What is it that makes it hard?
They look at other people and who have successful businesses or a successful career, and it looks easy, and they think, oh, but I'm not her. She's either grown up with money or she has had all the right connections. But the truth is, she's just, everyone's got fears and everyone's got these stories in their head. And it's just whether you make a decision to get over it. And we're all human. And I mean, everyone is just as capable as the next person, I believe, of making money. It's not even about intelligence. It's not whether you have a degree or not. It's whether you have the drive to actually take action and you have the belief system to allow you to see the opportunities that are right in front of you. Because most of us have this filter on that's already saying it's too hard, and you miss all the opportunities.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think that concept comes up in my coaching practice too, that idea that other people have, you know, success, but just not me. I can see other people on LinkedIn, for example. I've heard so many clients sort of say to me, you know what, I did that thing where you go on LinkedIn and you check out all your uni friends and you see what they're doing, and it just makes you feel miserable because you can see all these fancy job titles and you've got this imagination that they're having the best life, you know, and maybe they are, maybe they're not. But that concept of comparison is the biggest beast of the world, isn't it?
Yes.
It's such a destructive pattern to get into, where you start comparing yourself to other people and assuming you're less than, I think.
Yes. Well, I am a big believer in the fact that because you're identifying with a desire to have what these other people have, that means that you have the ability to do that inside of you, because you're just, have you heard of the concept of projection?
Sure.
So like whatever you're lacking in yourself or whatever's bothering you, you project onto other people. So it might really annoy you, say, let's just take some random example, like Trump. I know it's controversial, but like he can really trigger a lot of people, especially women, because he's very loud and outspoken and obnoxious, and it really annoys a lot of us, and it gets your back up. And I like to, whenever that happens to me, I like to just reflect on that and just remind myself that everything is a mirror for what's going on in myself, and what is it about him that he has that is mirroring something back to me. And he's very confident, right? He's overly confident.
Overly confident.
Yeah. And like, so I realized at that stage when this is all happening with all the Trump campaign, I realized that I wasn't being overly confident in my business. I wasn't showing up. I'd only just started my business. It was still very new. And so I think the point is we've got to look at whatever's triggering us. And that is a signal that that is something that you are lacking in yourself. And no, I don't want to have the same level of obnoxious confidence that Trump has, but I need a little bit of that in myself. So the same applies when you see another woman who has, you know, her life together in her career or is doing really well in business. And you think, oh my God, she's so successful. Like, and she's just got it down pat. Like, and just ask yourself, how is that reflecting what's lacking in my life? Like, if she was in my life, what would she be doing differently? She'd probably be more organized. She'd probably jump on opportunities and follow up leads and things like that. She wouldn't hesitate when somebody asks her how much her products or services are because she's super confident that she delivers value. And all these kind of things are just signals that we can learn from this person.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I think instead of looking at it from a kind of position of jealousy or envy, perhaps, it's a question of how can I learn from that person? Yeah. What is that person doing differently to me? Because it's really a behavior that's the difference, right? We all know that there are beliefs that can hold you back.
Yeah.
But it's the behavior that actually creates the action. So you obviously need to get to the nub of the problem, which is the beliefs and the values. But the behaviors are the things that you can absolutely observe, that you can see and that you can replicate. And you can sort of say, well, look, I actually don't do half of the behavior she's doing. And that might be why I'm in the position that I'm in.
Yes.
Because you're right. The envy, when the envy comes up, it's there to teach you something, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a good thing.
It's a great thing. Yeah.
And nobody envies psychopaths and murderers. We don't have that in us. Like it doesn't trigger me when I see something like that on the news and I go, oh my God, I want to be like that person. Or they've got something I don't. Like that's not the case. So whenever we are trying to compare ourselves to other people, it's because there's something inside of us that needs to be lit up. That's there and we haven't given it the time and attention to see it blossom.
What a beautiful way of describing that. I think that's a really beautiful analogy.
Yeah.
So what are the other mindset blockers then, Julia, that we could share today?
Well, I think I want to go back to the one about making it hard because there's other levels of that. Okay. So I was speaking with another lady who has a group of women that she looks after in her business that move from corporate to their own personal sort of entrepreneurial venture, right? And they did a survey and they realized that I think it was like over 70% of the women who started new businesses when they left corporate did something that wasn't what they were doing in corporate. So they totally shifted, right? So, and there's nothing wrong with following what you love, but my thing is, my gripe about this is, if you already have all these skills in this corporate career, why not use them in your own business? And I know it's not as glamorous because maybe you're a bit over it, but why reinvent the wheel? There must be a way to integrate the things that you love with the skills you already have. So maybe I can give you an example for myself. So when I used to be in wealth management, worked in firms and lived in corporate land, and it just ate away my soul because it was just not really purposeful, I suppose. And then I decided to go back to uni and do a degree in interior design because I was just craving something creative and more feminine. And then I started an interior design business. And of course, it really didn't take off because that's not my zone of genius. My people kept asking me for financial advice. And then I thought to myself, why am I trying to make this so hard for myself? Why don't I just give people what they're asking for, which is the financial advice, but do it in a feminine, creative way, which is why I created Love, Luck, Wealth. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. I mean, go where you're strong.
Go where you're strong.
The thing that's interesting about that, though, is like, you know, so long as you still have a passion in that area, then that works. Obviously, there were values that were missing from your corporate career. So creativity sounds like one.
Yes.
So, you know, what you've done is you've taken your knowledge, your expertise, your experience, but you've harnessed it with things that are very important to you, such as creativity.
Yep.
And maybe that feminine side is also, it's obviously a value
mm-hmm.
to make it work better for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to do things differently, which that's what I was craving. I was craving to not sort of to get out of that corporate mold and to do something that is specifically for women that feels like it's making an actual difference.
Yeah.
Writing a
thing would also... So I was going to say, because I think also what you're doing would resonate so much more deeply with a lot of women as well, right? Because those values are shared.
Yes, because if I write a financial plan for somebody, their eyes are going to glaze over. It's not interesting. It's not exciting. It's just numbers on a page. And most people just don't get engaged with that. And I thought, how can I find a way to connect with women to help them connect with their money in a more positive way where they actually engage in it and they look forward to managing their money and carrying out their plan? And I thought, right, I need to just totally flip this on its head, and I need to make it a way that where I help women sort of change the way they even think about money and to believe and understand that they can change where they're at right now and they can get to where they want to be with their goals, but you just have to start. Yeah. And this is the thing. If you just give someone some financial advice, it's really dry and it's not inspiring. And of course, they're not going to put it into action because it's not high on their, like, it doesn't bring them joy.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, that's why I did that. So don't make it so hard is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, it's the first one.
That's
simplify. Look at it more simply. Look at some actions that you can start taking straight away.
Yes, there's always a way to make money.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much money in the world. There is like an ocean of money. Like, and you having more does not mean somebody has less.
Yes.
So don't ever feel guilty. I think that's another thing that really applies to women. We tend to, because we're wired to nurture, we want to help other people all the time. And so we do tend to like have this story going, if I make lots of money from my clients, then I'm taking away from them and they don't have money for themselves. But you forget that you're adding value with your service and your product. Mm. And it's like you're teaching them to fish, you know, like, so we just need to not worry so much about this guilt complex about making money. Money is power, and we need more power in the hands of women. It simply amplifies who you already are. So if you're a good person, money's going to amplify that. And for so long throughout the centuries, money was flowing to a lot of people who didn't necessarily have good values, because we had a whole different system, because we didn't have the internet. There was really high barriers to entry for people to create companies and market, and then it took a lot of money to get started.
Yes.
But now it's so much easier. And so just, you know, everyday good people, there's so many ways to make money now. And it doesn't cost a lot to get started. So you just got to get started.
That's right. You do just have to get started. I like that concept that you were describing about that money exchange.
Yes.
And how, you know, you exchange energy for reward, essentially. And I have that view also, you know, with the clients we work with who are in corporate environments. And, you know, there's that concern about asking for more money when it comes to salaries. But the reality is for the last 6 months, 12 months, you've been investing a huge amount of your energy and your expertise and your knowledge into growing that business and making that business stronger and more competitive. And therefore, you know, the reward that you get at the end of that from a financial perspective is necessary. It's not just, it shouldn't just be an appropriate amount of money, but it's a necessary thing that that's a fair exchange of energy.
Yeah.
I don't know why we sort of doubt that we're not worth, you know, what we ask for when it comes to salaries, but it comes back down to that concept of, am I good enough? And am I adding enough value? It's almost like we're never adding enough value, we women. We always feel like we have to be adding more and more and more to be worthy or to be appropriately.
Yes. So it's like if we take it back to a relationship, a romantic relationship, because I think we all understand that a bit better and more familiar with that. We accept the love we feel we deserve.
Yeah.
And if you don't love yourself, there's no way you can love your partner properly, because when you love someone without loving yourself, it comes across as neediness, and it becomes that obsessive kind of unhealthy kind of love. And the same can then be applied to your job. So you need to have self-worth, and you accept the value that your boss, that his boss is giving to you, because that's what you feel you deserve. So you need to elevate your deservedness.
Yes. Right.
And so that means working on your mindset, working on your belief systems, uncovering the stories behind why you don't feel like you deserve to go to the next level. It's quite confronting sometimes. And but you need to go there. You need to be truthful. What's holding me back?
Yeah.
And if I was that person who had the job of my dreams, what would she be doing differently? What kind of language would she be using every day? What kind of organizational systems would she be using? How would she hold herself when she walks? What would she look like? You know, it's just all of this stuff. There's so much more to this than just asking for a raise.
Absolutely, you have to there is.
Believe in yourself and your self-worth.
And I think also that the other thing that I've seen, Julia, from a personal perspective also, is it kind of impacts your mindset based on the people you hang out with and the environments you find yourself in.
Yeah.
So, for example, you're constantly having conversations with friends around how difficult everything is, or with family. You know, family patterns can go through generations, can't they? And it's all about it being very, very hard, or it being very, very difficult. Or you've got friends around you and contacts around you and your network around you who are, you know, making good money, who talk about money like it's an easy thing to generate.
Yeah.
Who, you know, don't think twice about booking that holiday in the holidays in the Alps or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think surrounding yourself with people who have the right kind of mindset is an enormously helpful support system. I think being aware of who, you know, you're around and what their belief patterns are is a really big part of that, and shifting yourself out of spaces where you're just not surrounded by the right kind of attitude towards money.
Oh yeah, definitely. Remove yourself from those situations, like, nicely, but you don't need to engage in that kind of stuff.
No.
Just try and catch yourself whenever you're out talking with friends or whatever, and if catch yourself talking negatively, because your words are your wand, you know, that's the magic that comes out of your life, and they're so powerful. And the more you talk about and focus on negative stuff, the more of that you attract into your life. I'm constantly surrounding myself with mantras and affirmations to remind me that I can have whatever I want, which is the truth. We can have whatever I want. There's never been a better time ever to be a woman, especially in business or in corporate, because everything is coming together for us now. The women before us have worked so hard to give us the opportunities that we have. So don't squander it, you know, like, just take full advantage of it and step into it. Mindset is just so powerful. And I think it comes before the financy side of things, the numbers.
It comes to self, doesn't it?
Yes, it comes to self. And you have to be able to radiate that vibration of the radio station, if you will, of where you want to be, right? You have to be able to tune in to the station that's playing the song that you like. So what is that vibration? And I keep going back to this, that you just have to visualize what would the successful me do?
I love that.
When I'm in that situation, and how would she do something differently now? Because you have to do something different. If you keep doing what you've been doing all the time, you're going to get the same results.
That's 100% right. What a beautiful way to end. Thank you so much, Julia.
Thank you.
So I know we could talk about that a lot longer. Mm. And maybe we'll do another episode in the future.
Yeah.
But Julia, if there's a lady listening right now and she's thinking, okay, how do I start working on this stuff? How could I work with Julia, for example? Yeah. What's the best thing to do?
Well, just go to my website, lovelockwealth.com, and I have a free resources page. There's lots of stuff you can download there. I have a blog, which has a lot of stories and information there to inspire you. And then, of course, I have my group programs coming up, so you can register for that. And there's plenty of ways to work with me one-on-one. It's all there on my website.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Julia. I've really, really enjoyed today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow, ladies, that was such a valuable lesson in money mindset. I really hope you've got lots and lots and lots of value from that. I hope you took loads of notes. I took loads of notes. There was so much useful information there from Julia. And listen up, if you're interested in getting ahead in your career as well, then you might want to also get hold of one of our fantastic resources. We have the 7 Habits of Female Execs Who Get Promoted. And if you want your hands on that copy, it's full of practical tips to help you get promoted in an authentic way, because I know that's always a big bugbear for a lot of ladies out there. If you want to get your hands on that document, 7 Habits of Female Execs Who Get Promoted, then all you have to do is go to rebeccasfreegift.com and you'll get your copy straight to your inbox. I'll see you next week.